Well, Nelson Mandela's death has given new life to an old debate picked up by a new generation of conservatives. As Texas Senator Ted Cruz and former House Speaker Newt Gingrich found out when they praised Nelson Mandela. Gingrich called him one of the greatest leaders of our lifetime, an inspiration worth studying for generations to learn about greatness and serving others. The response was vicious. Here's one reply. This clenched fist murdering guerrilla warrior does not deserve respect from informed Americans. CNN's Candy Crowley asked Newt Gingrich about that backlash.
I was very surprised by it. And Calista had posted my statement on her Facebook page and was amazed at some of the intensity, some of whom came back 3, 4, and 5 times, repeating how strong, how angry they were. So I wrote my newsletter at Gingrich Productions on Friday. Basically, I entitled it, What Would You Have Done?
We'll post his response at hearandnow.org, but in it, he challenges conservatives, reminding them that it was a Republican Congress that overruled then-President Ronald Reagan to pass sanctions against the repressive South African government and also in support of Nelson Mandela back in 1986. Larry Sabato is director of the Center for Politics at the University of Virginia. And Larry, some of our listeners are weighing in on Facebook and at hearandnow.org, asking why we're even giving this feeling about Mandela any airtime. Our feeling is when history is being whitewashed, there should be an airing and a challenge. Your thoughts?
Well, of course that's true. You know, in this hyper-partisan era, everything's political. Everything's divisive. And it seems that, no old battle is ever settled. Now, I think what some of these, you mentioned young conservatives, I think many of them are my age and older, 60s, 70s, 80s, and they remember the Mandela and the ANC that was characterized in the 60s and 70s and 80s as being communist-inspired, Castro-inspired. You see, these comments are being made in the context of the Cold War that died in the late 1980s. So that helps to explain, though not excuse, some of the comments.
Well, Newt Gingrich does respond to those comments by saying, well, it was because he was desperate and had no conservative allies to turn to. Let's go over some of the history. And much of Mandela's history was told over the course of the last few days. He was a trained lawyer. He was working against the repressive minority white South African regime when there was just one slaughter of blacks too many. He did take up arms. He was imprisoned. Gingrich compares him to the farmers at Lexington and Concord and again says that he used violent tactics and did briefly align himself with the Communist Party because there were no conservative allies. So remind us again, what was the mood in the 80s? Again, he's been in prison for a while, upset in the streets. What was the mood in the 80s when U.S. sanctions were being discussed?
Well, there was a party divide, though I want to make clear, in this case, Newt Gingrich has been very consistent, and I think he's justified in what he's been saying. He was one of the Republicans in 1986 that voted to override President Reagan's veto of the anti-apartheid sanctions bill.
Let's pull that apart. Let's pull that apart just for a second. There was a bill proposed by this Republican Congress for sanctions against the South African government because of the imprisonment. Go ahead.
It was a Democratic Congress, Robin, until the Republicans controlled the Senate, but the Democrats controlled the House of Representatives in 1986. But what's important is Democrats were virtually united. There were only a handful of Southern Democrats who voted to sustain Reagan's veto. But the Republicans, believe it or not, a majority of Republicans in both houses, the House and the Senate, voted to override Reagan's veto because they saw by that time the tide of history, and Gingrich was right there among them.
So again, just to get the timeline, Congress had voted for sanctions. Ronald Reagan vetoed them. Congress overturned his veto. Let's listen to Ronald Reagan's thinking at the time. In a speech before the Foreign Policy Association, he said that the root cause of trouble in South Africa is apartheid, but the question of whether to impose sanctions, he agreed with British Prime Minister Margaret Thatcher, who called sanctions immoral and utterly repugnant. Let's listen.
The primary victims of an economic boycott of South Africa would be the very people we seek to help. Most of the workers who would lose jobs because of sanctions would be black workers. We do not believe the way to help the people of South Africa is to cripple the economy upon which they and their families depend for survival.
Again, he vetoed the sanctions. It was overruled by Congress. The first override of a veto on a foreign policy issue in the 20th century. Other Republicans at the time included a young Mitch McConnell who said, "This is clear to me. I'm from the South. This is a civil rights issue." As to Newt Gingrich, though, you say he's consistent. There are some who are saying that he's the one who may have ignited the kind of language that he's hearing right now. When there was the shutdown debate, Representative Barbara Kelly of Connecticut, she says this, the kind of thing that he's hearing now, but she said this earlier, this lack of civility dates to his rise from bomb-throwing backbencher to Speaker of the House, that he's the one that started framing positions in words like pathetic, sick, intolerant, you know, in the 90s. And I'm wondering, do you think this is a little of chickens coming home to roost?
Sure. Now, that's a separate issue, of course. When Gingrich became Speaker in early 1995, he began that Republican revolution, the Gingrich revolution, that clearly started or at least increased the momentum of the polarization that we've seen in Congress that has continued to the current day and actually intensified. So that's a legitimate point to make. I was simply saying on the question of apartheid, Gingrich has been quite consistent. And by the way, if we're to believe Jim Baker, who of course was chief of staff to Reagan and later Secretary of State under George H.W. Bush, Ronald Reagan himself told Baker that he made a mistake in vetoing the anti-apartheid sanctions, that he later saw the light and realized that he'd made a mistake. That's according to Baker.
Larry Sabato, director of the Center for Politics at the University of Virginia, setting the record straight on exactly what happened in the U.S. when it came to sanctions and South Africa. Larry, thanks as always.
Thanks so much.
You're listening to Here and Now.
Funding for Here and Now comes from GEICO, protecting drivers and their families with insurance coverage for over 75 years. More at geico.com or 1-800-947-AUTO.